We're learning this kuntres, this maimer ben yoni chinuch, which is really, as I begin each week by saying, it's not techniques in chinuch, but it's to create and to develop a certain mindset and an approach of how as parents and as teachers we should feel, and therefore the dagesh, the emphasis here is not on what we call in Chassidus muskolos. It's not. We're not going through Maharals and Reb Tzaddiks and Svasamas. That's not the point. The point is a mood, to establish and create a certain mood and a certain temperament that we need as parents, as grandparents, as teachers, as mashpiyim, as those who are trying to help and to influence other Jews. And everybody here falls into one of those categories. So that's what we're learning. So this should not be understood. It shouldn't be misinterpreted to think that we're going through different techniques and hadroche in how to be mechanchem. That's not the point. That would be mitzvah for another time, and I would love to maybe mitzvah. We should all be well next summer. We could have in Yerushalayim a kibbutz to get together and to do that. But right now, this, I feel that we just have to have a certain new and fresh way of looking at it, at the whole sugya, the whole inyan. That's what this is about. So we're on page hey. On page hay of the Maimer from Rav Zilberberg from Yerushalayim, which really Rav Zilberberg is speaking on behalf of the tzaddikim of primarily the Talmid Baal Shem Tov. It's not really his own Torah, but he brings it together in a very special way, and that's why I thought it would be good for us to do this and to be able to finish it through the summer. And if we come to the last week and it's not finished, we'll have to maybe try an extra time or something to make sure that we finish this country. So I'll try to say a little bit less of what my thoughts are, and to read a little bit together and to hear what he has to say. On page hey, he was explaining, we were talking about this last week, that the aleph of chinuch habonim and bonus of our children and as teachers is to have an attitude that can be described as su'umaroy meneichem, to have a different, higher and broader view of who our children are and what our responsibility as parents and as teachers is. And we were talking about how the last 2 weeks we were talking about the danger of pachad, of being overly fearful and nervous and being filled with anxiety when it comes to being parents and teachers, and how this is harmful. That the ikar is that the children should sense that we feel a schus, we feel simcha in being their parents and in being their teachers. This is what we're talking about. And we're on page hey, on the left-hand column, the second paragraph beginning with the word Bifrat. Everybody see that? Bifrat. Bifrat b'dayreinu shekiyaduhu dar chalosh. Our generation, he says, is a very weak generation. U'mikol davar katan, alulum lipo la'atzos v'choyse matzav ruach. I think we could all agree with this. That it could be the smallest little thing, and we're sent into this mood of atzvus, of depression, of sadness. It could be the smallest thing in the world, and our mood is violently altered, is violently changed by a kleinigkeit, by a small thing. Therefore, we have an avoda to constantly repeat to ourselves, and to engrave deep within our souls, as goydel hasimcha v'chashiva shaleinu l'smoich u'lahachshiv u'liyaker, the great simcha and the chashivas that we should feel, we should rejoice, and to value kol mashu shanu zoichim laseis binyin zeh shel hashpo al haneshomas hakadoshes. To be machshiv, to value any tiny little mashu that we're able to accomplish in this area of chinuch, that it should be something which is important to us, and we should be besimcha with this. It's explained in the Svar Makedoshim at length that we see this, that when it comes to inyonim of masa umaton, for instance, in business, if a person is not besimcha, if a person is not in what we call, it's not really a Jewish term, but I'll use it, I'll borrow it, if a person is not in a good mood, then even when it comes to inyonim of parnasa, it's very hard to be matzliach. If a person walks around with a marish chayra, God forbid, in a depressed state, and feels a sense of despair, if it's difficult for him or to her to find a point of simcha, then you become lethargic in everything that you do. The Tanya explains this. The Tanya explains this in a very remarkable way, which is Kedai, just to review in Sefer Tanya. But he explains there that we know that when two people are engaged in a wrestling match, if one really doesn't have a cheshek, if one of them is not, so to speak, in the mood to fight, so then there's no question that even though his opponent might be naturally physically weaker, right, the opponent might be weaker, nevertheless, the weaker opponent who's excited, who's besimcha, will defeat the physically stronger opponent who has no cheshek, who is lacking in desire, who's lacking in simcha, in a determination to fight. We see this in the hishtalshlus of recent years, the matzav in Eretz Yisrael, Kiyadua, which has been a very difficult matzav. Those years when there were Jews in Eretz Yisrael who felt a tremendous idealism regarding the attachment to the land, who felt, whether it was secular or lahavdil, it was from a religious point of view. That's not the issue now, whether they were secular or they were religious or not religious. Datiyim or chilonim. The settlers of Eretz Yisrael, the beginning of the century, and then through the years of the Hakamas HaMedina and so on, to a large extent, they were filled with a certain vision and idealism. If it wasn't religious, it was secular, but the Jewish people have a homeland, and they fought with that determination. As the secular ideal became somewhat, more than somewhat diminished over the years. So that cheshek and that drive and that simcha, the joy of having the land, has been terribly diminished, and therefore it's harder to hold on to it, as we see with our own eyes. Anything, wherever there's simcha, a person fights, a person wants, a person is filled with enthusiasm over what is his. The determination of a mother to fight for, to stand up for her children, is always related to the cheshek, to the love that she has for the children. If God forbid the mother doesn't have a cheshek for the children, then it's very difficult to stand up and to fight and to protect, and so on. As it's understood, it's clear. So the Tanya says that in a wrestling match with the Yetzirah, which we all have through the days of our lives, to wrestle with that side, with the Sitrach, with the other side, if a person is going to be depressed and constantly worried and nervous and sad, so then even though you might naturally have great intellectual koiches, and you might be a person of great depth and great emotional range, but if your state of mood is one that is depressed, if you're sad, so then you know when a person's sad, you just feel like curling up, you know, usually with like a couple of pounds of ragalach or something, and you curl up someplace and you just disappear. Or as Rav Kook discusses by Arichas in many places, and it's found in the Svarma Kedoshim, sleeping has become one of the favorite pastimes of people as depression becomes deeper in society. We find that there's more and more sleep. Because sleepfulness is always a measure, I'm not saying a healthy measure of sleep to be well and to be able to function, but sleeping as a form of leisure. Or people who will sleep to very, very, you know, will sleep for very extensive amounts of time. So that's like Yonah, when the world was falling apart. Yonah, where was Yonah, you remember? He was sleeping in the belly of the boat, right? So Yonah was sleeping downstairs in the boat. So Rav Kook says, no, when a person feels withdrawn, when he feels lethargic and depressed, instead of besimcha, taking on the responsibilities of life, the teva is the geitschlufen. There are different ways to go to sleep. Some people go to sleep with their eyes open, also kiddu. But it means that a person withdraws. Sleep is a very, very cozy way to withdraw from reality. You just turn off the lights, you cover yourself up, and you're gone. People, of course, who are more desperate to retreat, they might seek that in chalila, in drugs, or in alcohol, and so on. But this is a simon of depression. And when a person's simcha is depleted, he doesn't have the koyach to fight against all that he must fight against in life. So what he's explaining, when it comes to chinuch, if a person is machshiv, he's miyaker, he values and he recognizes the schus that he has to have children. Or if a person wasn't zeichet to have biological children, the schus to have students, to have friends, to be mashpia. If one doesn't recognize that and feel a great simcha, So then your koiches become terribly depleted, and you become a person who's not effective in giving over what we were talking about last week. But what he's saying here is that every little mashahu, any tiny bit that you could be mashpia, if you would realize how important these neshamas kedoshes are, then every little bit that you could be mashpia makes a tremendous reishim, then certainly you would be filled with simcha, you'd be filled with great joy. V'zeh rotzen Hashem yisbarach mi'itanu. He continues, V'zeh rotzen Hashem yisbarach mi'itanu. This is what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants of us. Shenigash l'hisaska zu mitoich simcha. That we should undertake our business of parents, of teachers, b'simcha. We should be happy. I mean, I know it's almost, it's very odd to even think of such a thing. You know, to be happy, this is such a huge achrayus. We're going to talk about a teaching from the Piazetz in a moment, you'll see. V'hakara begoydel hazchiyash, Hashem yisbarach mezakeis on. It's a gewaldige schus that I have, that He gave me these children, or these students, or these friends in my life, that I have the schus to bring to them more elokus, more godliness, to be mashpia on them, which is the tachlis of our lives. So he says that it once happened that a certain malamed, a malamed from Cheder, came to the Chsam Sofer, and he said to the Chsam Sofer, he's tired of being a Rebbe in Cheder, you know, for little boys. He's tired of being a Cheder Rebbe. He wanted to move on to a higher level. He wanted to be a mashpia. In other words, he wanted to go say a shir on a higher level in yeshiva. He was tired of an olive being an olive based rebbe. And the Chassam Sofer said to him, the Chassam Sofer said, how could a person want to leave, to abandon such a madrega, such an awesome level of being in that category that's called, I'm going to explain what this means, mazdike harabim kikaychavim. The Pasuk describes those Jews who are mashpia on others, who help and influence and bring others closer to the Rebbeinu Shalom, as mazdike harabim kikaychavim, like stars. Those who bring righteousness, those who uplift and inspire others like stars, kikaychavim. Now what does that mean? And why was the Chassam Sofer, and certainly the Chassam Sofer knew that this Malamed would be able to be Mashpia on the boys in older grades as well. Why Davke as a Rebbe for little children, very often, and I have friends of mine who have been Rebbes for younger boys, and very often they sense this atzvus, this sadness and despair, because, you know, year after year, it's very difficult to get sipak and nefesh, so the child is able to say the Aleph Beis, Baruch Hashem. And the Rebbe thinks, you know, wow, if I could only be someone that could share my deepest thoughts and feelings. And similarly, many, many mothers feel this. You know, it's very hard to be inspired after changing thousands of diapers and reading little nursery tales and having to deal with the daily routines of taking care of children. It's very, very difficult to feel inspired. And the one who's seeking inspiration in that, because of the material, is certainly going to be disappointed. Little Red Riding Hood is extremely confining, right? But and so is taking care of the children in that, and looking at it in just that physical way. But the Chassam Sofer was saying to this Malamed was, how could you want to leave such a madrega of being matzdike harab kikaychavim? Now, if you understand what this means, matzdike harab kikaychavim, why is it dafka with little ones? Dafka with the little ones, that it's kikaychavim. And for those whose little ones are already growing up, so then you could share this with your children and their little ones, that mazdika harab kikaychavim, why is it that dafka with little kinderlach, with little children? Although it includes the older ones as well. Everything that we're learning includes older children, but one tends to feel more of a sense of yeish. We know the famous saying amongst our people, kleine kinder, Kleinet Saros and Grace Akin, the Grace at Saros, meaning that with little children it's more physically challenging. With older children, they come home and they, you know, you have these contests, these matches of wits and of emotions. It's much more, I mean, I find it to be much, much more tiring and difficult to deal with the older ones, although certainly physically it's more difficult with the little ones. So, on both levels, there's no question that we are challenged to feel that simcha and that schus. But there's something special with the little ones. Because there, you see, with the older ones, you sometimes, you know, you feel more, there's a certain reward that you get when you hear something that comes from the older one, a davar muskel, something intelligent, where you see a daughter, a son under a chuppah, you see a bas taira, a ben taira. With the little ones, they're mamish a chefza of trouble and difficulties and management and maintenance and so on. It's very difficult to get anything in return. Of course, you know, when they say a sweet word, or you say Kriya Shema Lamita, or you see, you know, in the Shabbos outfit, that certainly does help. But in terms of real returns, with the little ones, it's very difficult. The Chassam Sofer tells this Rebbe, what are you talking about? It's Mazdik HaRabim Kikrei Chavim. Why Kikrei Chavim, like stars? Why like a star? We understand. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. When we're in this world, to us the stars, I mean, in the country you're able to see some stars, in the city we haven't seen in years. But we understand that when you look at a star, it appears to be so tiny and so insignificant. And you might fall into that misconception. And it's very easy to think that when you look at the star. But of course, we know that really the star is immense. It's hundreds, if not thousands, tens of thousands of times greater than the size of the earth that we're standing on. Why does the star appear to be so tiny? Because it's so far from us. Therefore, it seems to us to be very small. And because we don't have a true grasp of its greatness, you remember we were talking about this last week and 2 weeks ago, that the Piazestan was explaining that and we were talking from the Slonim also, that part of our problem is that we look at our children only as little children. And when you see the child as only a little child, not as a potential Godel B'Yisrael, as a potential revelation of Kavod Shemayim in this world, but you just see the child as a little child, so then it's very difficult to feel any simcha or gratification taking care of that little troublemaker. It's very difficult. But when one realizes that when you're dealing particularly with children, it's matzdik yeharam ki kaychovim, that a child, in the deepest sense, what is a child but an immature body that contains within it a portion of God Himself. And not only that, but a child is untainted. The emes is that you and I really should be embarrassed in front of our children. Our children are unblemished. Our children are pure. And all of us have already become somewhat, to some different degrees, defiled by this world and growing up in this world. And the children haven't. Therefore, all the chazals that tell us that the world stands on the tefillas and on the Torah of children. So we don't understand the child. The child is a stakel, a little star that's so far from our understanding. Therefore, she appears to us to be so tiny. The Chassam Sofer was mechazik that Malamed, they say you should know that the child is greater than kol ha'olam kulo. That star is greater than this world. Umeyah bor otzim v'niflin shines with a wondrous light. Therefore, any Jew who's misasek, who's involved, who's occupied with these neshamas, with the children, bein melamed, whether it's a teacher, bein babayis, or it's in the house, kol pam shemashpia labonav ubenoisav, any time that you're mashpia, that you give over something good, something real, to your child, to your daughter, to your son, to your daughter, hareze matzdike harabim kikaychovim. It's mamish matzdike harabim kikaychovim. You are Isaac. You are involved with a little star, whose greatness is so wondrous, is so beyond our grasp. V'zeh writes next page vav. V'zeh writes that Hashem is baruch shenachzo u'neshanin latzmeinu tamid. And this is something that we have to review over and over. Mamish every day. Not only every day, but a number of times each day. Shekol zman she'anu kan ba'ilam hazeh, Ein lanu shum musig begeidel va oitzem chshiva shal kol mashu shanu zeichem adei shanu mishtadlam lasik b'zeh. That as long as we're in this world, we can't possibly understand the schus and the chashivas of any tiny little benefit that you and I can bring to these wondrous little beings that were put into under our care. That you're mamish, you are nurturing that star whose light you see only in the most tiny dose before your eyes, but whose root and source is mamish, something that's beyond our understanding, beyond this world. The Rakish and Egila Ilam Ha'emis, and only when we are 120 and we reach the world of truth, Oz Nires, Oitzim Cheshivas V'Gerdel Ha'or, then we're going to be able to understand the Cheshivas, the Gerdel Ha'or, the great light. Shall call Dibur, any single word that you and I said, any word that we said that we gave over to the children. Call Dibur, V'chol Tnua, even a gesture to make nice to a child. A gesture, even without saying. In this world, we don't see what that is. Shezachinu lasik b'avoyda kadosh zu, that we're zoichu with this avoyda that's called Meleches Hashem that we spoke about last week, that is mamish the Meleches Hashem in this world. Uchiyadua, therefore, we know shekol machshava shel simcha shel mitzvah. Whenever you have a machshava thought of a simcha shel mitzvah, to do a mitzvah, but to do it besimcha. Then when you do that, when you're in a state of simcha, mikasheris es hayehudi al hamitzvah, that connects you very deeply to the mitzvah. You feel attached to the mitzvah. Val yodahu zoyche shashchina tishrolav. And when you feel that simcha shel mitzvah, the shchina, the presence of Hashem, becomes attached to you. Because every one of you knows that in a state of sadness, the shchina runs away. When a person is sad, you fall deeper and deeper because the shchina is not with you, God forbid. Because the Shechina is always v'chedva b'mkaymai. Hashem's always in a good mood. Even though there's such a state of Hashem, it's now the 3 weeks of b'mistarim, Hashem cries, but when he cries in a hidden place. But always v'chedva b'mkaymai, Hashem is simcha. And therefore, the Shechina runs away from an environment that's depressing. Therefore, we find even b'darchei ha-nevuah, in the ways of prophecy, we know from Elisha, and we know also from Shaul HaMelech, who sought out David to play Vayhi Kenagin HaMenagin, that music is a way to be misamech oneself, and through bringing back that state of simcha, then the Navi can once again awaken within himself Ruach HaKodesh and Ruach HaNavur, the spirit of prophecy. And the Jewish people are all called B'nai Nevi'im, the children of prophets. But if a person, that doesn't mean that we could tell the future, but it means that we have some special dimension within us of godliness that's called nevuah. And if you or I are in a state of depression, then we become extremely confused. Whatever seichel we have when we're in a state of simcha, we lose when we're in a state of depression. And we become stam, confused and bewildered. Therefore, he says that if a person realizes and is besimcha when he does a mitzvah, he's besimcha. I don't want to say, I wouldn't want to, my wife, when she's here, I wouldn't want to embarrass her. So she went to, my daughters had some production someplace, she went. So I could say, because she's not here, that it was one of the things that I was amazed by, of the many countless things that I'm amazed by with her, is that I mentioned this once at Ashir, that that when our oldest was a little baby, so I there was some crying or something, and I went towards the room. And when I walked in, it was a horrible sight. There was a terrible mess. I mean, it wasn't just I don't want to become graphic, but it wasn't just that she had an accident. It was all over the place. I don't even know ad hayom. Like, she was playing, you know, I don't want to go. But it was one of those terrible things. So here I was going to be the heroic father and go and change the baby and take care of her a little bit. But the moment I walked in and I saw and smelled what was happening, so I said, Michla, that's my wife. And I walked back like from Shemin Esrei, and I said, I can't start here, this is too much. So it was really horrible. And I went into my study that was a couple doors down, and my wife went to take care of Meira, of the baby. And And it was disgusting to deal with. And I was in my room and I was walking to get to another room to get some sefer, and I heard my wife say, "Hareini mekabel alai mitzvah saseh shel v'ahavt l'racha kamaycha." I accept upon myself the mitzvah of loving another Jew. And you know something? Your child is also a Jew. And when you take care and clean up a child, it's a mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael Midaraisa from the Torah Mamish. And I spoke to her about that afterwards, not the same day, but much later, because I spoke to her about that, and she said that she felt like so horrible, it was so horrible, that she had to find something to be mesamech, or like to be able to deal with this, and not, you know, not be overwhelmed by the whole task. And she remembered that I'm not a cleaning lady. I'm not some cleaning lady. This is my child, and this is another Jew, and every single thing that I'm doing right now is a mitzvah from the Torah of Ahavas Yisrael, of Ahavra Kamaycha. And she said, when having that thought, instead of becoming lowered and feeling defiled and ugly by dealing with this, she was able on some level to feel. On some level, to feel that there's importance, there's chshivas, even to this kind of a thing, even to this. One of the most remarkable things that I ever saw, and when we used to live in Far Rockaway, there was an old rav there. That he has a number of sons that are all talmidei chachamim. They all have different batei medrashim, different places in the city and outside the city. Very chashuv family. He already is not in this world. The old rav. But he insisted every week to go to the mikveh Shabbos morning. It must have taken, each week was a different son. It must have taken, the walk must have taken an hour and a half or two each way. Because he was taking tiny, and it was quite a few blocks away. And I remember seeing this in 95 degrees. This old rav, I mean, his mesivas nefesh for the mikveh, but the sons. And I would sometimes be in the mikveh Shabbos morning, and the son would be there with his father, with the Rav. And the way that he was metapel in his father, I never saw in my life the way that he took care of his father. It took him another hour to undress, to walk with him, and to hold him, carry him into the mikveh, and everything he was saying, this is a good tata. And he was a moichel zayin tata. I never saw such a thing in my life. Each one of the sons, with such ahava, with such mesivas halev, hanefesh, And then after the whole thing, until finally he's all dressed and with the shtreimel, and then to go outside again, we'll walk back. I never saw that. I said the Rebbeinu Shem should help that my parents should be well. This in Swansea, that I should have a little bit of a shemitz of that kind of mesiris to a parent. That only comes when a person sees this as a schus. If you see this as purely as a responsibility, as a chayv that was thrown upon you. Then you begin to have this tiny, how come my sister only had 1 week and I took care of 2 weeks? And you begin to be in that whole, you become enmeshed in that kitna samaychen of that, and become impatient. when a person realizes the yakris and the chashivas of a mitzvah, so then you're able to do it besimcha. So the Chassam Sofer was ma'oideh, the Chassam Sofer was encouraging this melamed. He was encouraging this malamed that you're little stars. You don't know what hashpah, you can't believe what hashpah you're making. You know, the Kotzke, everybody heard of the Kotzke, right? Mendel from Kotzk, he was a mamish, an eish lahav, a burning coal. So the Kotzke, when he was already very famous, he went back to his hometown of Tamashov. He went back he had chassidim there to see the family. And now it's like the boy, you know, the hero. He was the hero of the town, the hometown boy that made it big. So the Kotzke came back, and the whole town came to Makabel Ponim from the Kotzke. And what happened was that there was a whole sichsuch, there was a whole fight. Where would the Rebbe stay when he's in town? And there were two people there who were vying for position to have the schus, to have the Kubi Mechabit him to stay there. But the Kotzker walked into town. He went immediately to his first great Rebbe, to his Cheder Rebbe, and he kissed him on the hand. And he says, "Rebbe, would you permit me to stay by you?" And the other one was very upset. He was very upset. Because the other one was a famous Lamdan, and he had the Kotzker for years, when he was, you know, already learning on a higher level, Gemara Rashi Tosis, you know. Huh? So the Kotzker felt this, and the Kotzker went to his other Rebbe, from when he was older. So the Kotzker went to him, and he says, "Rebbe, please be ma'achal me. You see, the difference is as follows. I respect you and I love you, but you see, you taught me very difficult sugyas, difficult subjects in Gemara and Poskim and so on. I have to say, the truth is that I'm still not entirely sure of what all of that meant. But my first great rabbi taught me Aleph Beis, Baruch Hashem and Aleph Beis, I know. He says, that's clear to me, Chazda. So I have to be by my first great rabbi. Right? So as parents, with little ones especially, that clarity is coming from the beginning, to know that there's a Ribbono Shel'Olam that loves them, to know what it means to be a Jew. Those messages that are given over from when they're small, and as they grow, those are the messages that are going to give them the koiches to get through all of the nisyonos, the difficulties of this world. But when you're in it, you forget that, and you become extremely frustrated, and sometimes you become overwhelmed, and you can't deal with it. Therefore, what he's saying here is that you have to be besimcha with every little moment that you're able to have the schus to deal with the children. I want to read to you a paragraph from the Chovis HaTalmidim of the Rebbe from Piazetzna, which I've told you about this Sefer, that really, really it's kedai for everybody to learn properly the Sefer. It's in English, it's in Hebrew, it's in English, it's called The Student's Obligation. To read it through and through a few times. So he's speaking here in the second chapter. He's talking to the students, to the boys. He had an introductory chapter to the parents and to the teachers, and now he's speaking to the boys. But what he says to the boys is very much nogeya to us, and exactly what we just learned. And he says the following: do not become depressed. Do not let your heart sink at the thought of your great responsibility. You know that a lot of the children are also overwhelmed, especially the boys when they come into yeshiva. The boys are very, very overwhelmed. Very often they're overwhelmed. I know that when my son started this year in Misifta, so in the beginning, which was that time of Tashlich, time Slichas Tashlich, he was crying constantly. Because why? Because maybe he wasn't in eighth grade, seventh, eighth grade, he wasn't prepared a certain way, and he came to ninth grade, and in the class, there were like two or three really, really like sharp kids, you know? And the Rebbe, of course, was talking mostly to them in the beginning, right? And my son said, he just was watching like a ping pong game. You know, this, that, Akasha, a question, a terrorist. And he said he couldn't, and he's a smart boy, can I know? But he said he couldn't follow. And he became totally overwhelmed. Totally overwhelmed. And what happens to the boy who's going through that year after year, feeling totally overwhelmed? Knowing that the only way that you're going to be considered to be choshev in the world, in the yeshiva world, is if you're somebody that's able to be part of the ping pong game, right? And if you don't know how to play ping pong, you could be the nicest guy in the world. You could be the biggest bal chesed. You could be a great davener and a big tehillim zogger. But in how the yeshiva world one is measured, a child can begin to look at himself as being mamish lo yitzluch, as being an unsuccessful person. And he could take that with him, God forbid, his whole life, thinking that he's unsuccessful. So the Rebbe is telling them, do not be depressed. Do not let your heart sink at the thought of your great responsibility. Depression is an evil trait. It has a pernicious effect on the mind and heart and leads to discouragement and neglectfulness. Instead, this is what you should do. In the morning upon awakening, think, and this is for us also, in the morning upon awakening, think over the essence of what we have written here. Think about the great responsibility that is yours. Be concerned, but do not be depressed. There's a difference between being concerned and being depressed. The difference is as follows. The Piazetzna explains, what's the difference between being concerned and being depressed? Because certainly what we're learning tonight about being besimcha does not mean you should be negligent. Hey, everything is great, it's fine, I'm so happy. And see your kids, God forbid, like going off and doing the great. Hey, it's great, it's terrific. That's not what the tzaddikim are talking about. But there's a difference between being concerned parents and being depressed parents. Be concerned, but do not be depressed. The difference is as follows. Someone who had a great fortune and then lost it all might fall into despair and depression. If you had a great treasure and you lost it, you had a great fortune and you lost it, you could become depressed. Someone who knows where a great fortune is buried, deep in the ground, will worry and be concerned about the enormous amount of labor necessary to reach the treasure. The more concerned and worried he is about his task, the more resolved and determined he becomes to succeed and to work with great joy until he does succeed. Do you understand this, Marshall? This is something that should be on the refrigerator. It should be on the wall. The difference between concerned and depressed. Depressed means gewalt is verfallen. Alles verfallen. It's lost. It's lost. And you know, many times when, you know, like something with the children, I know that I felt like that after I you know, raised my voice, especially to one of my children, that over the years, I like more than the others, I really was hard on her. And then afterwards, I would feel, of course, terribly guilty, and I couldn't sleep, and I was sick about it. So I would, the first thing I would always say to my wife, you know, I would say, I'm Amish destroyed her. You know, I broke her. Tonight, I really destroyed her. And my wife would always say, what are you talking about? She's a child, and she's young, and you love her, and tomorrow, you know, start again. It doesn't... But if you become depressed with the children, then it's like someone who had a great fortune, because when the child was born, mazel tov, mazel, we were all very happy, Baruch Hashem, and you feel, ach, I've lost the treasure. I've lost my treasure is gone. Then you become depressed. When you become depressed, then you have no cheshek, and you don't, and you become completely, completely ineffective, and everything falls apart. But when a person knows that there's a treasure, but believes with all of his heart that the treasure is buried deep down, then you're concerned and you're worried because there's a great responsibility and there's a lot of work that lies ahead. But you don't become depressed because you know, and that's what we were talking about the last few weeks, you know that there's a treasure and you believe that with all of your heart. Then instead of becoming depressed and giving up hope, you become filled with what? With an exuberance and with a simcha to move forward and to dig deep to get to the bottom of that and to get to that treasure that you know is there, that you believe is there. And a child can tell when a parent no longer believes that the treasure is there. The child can tell when the Rebbe doesn't believe the treasure is there, when the Mora does not believe. The child can tell. And he goes on and says, so you have to be concerned about it, but be strong and joyous in your holy task, and each day allow your concern and worry about accomplishing it to diminish. For continuous worry and concern weaken the mind. It cannot be sustained for any length of time anyway. That even worry and concern, be careful, not too much. Just be sure to continually remember your purpose and your aim. You hear this? Your purpose and your aim. We're going to talk a lot more about this in the next piece inside our little cipher. Be sure to continually remember your purpose and your aim. Remember, but do not worry. There's a difference. Remember in the same way that a traveler must continuously remember his destination in order not to lose his way, and must often remind himself of the purpose of his journey in order to hurry himself along and not become distracted. You're like somebody, you and I, we're like people who were on a journey. And not to get meshuggah, not to get crazy, not to be depressed, but to remind ourselves of what the purpose of the journey is and where we have to go. And reminding oneself is not the same thing as becoming depressed and becoming sick with fear and with worry. But to be concerned and to accept the responsibility and to constantly be cognizant of the fact that I am on this remarkable journey. And this leads us exactly into the next piece here, into the third paragraph on page Vav. Ha'emesi, in the actual paragraph, we don't have to read the title. Ha'emesi, ever have the place? The truth is, Shekosha ma'oid lefarit es kol ha'ifana v'digmol shal yodam asliach ha'yetzel ashkiach mihodam es gerdla schia shezoich lasa keis b'lo melachas Hashem. He says, it's difficult for me to list and to go through all the different tachsisim, all the different tactics and strategies that are used by the Yetzer Hara to cause us to forget the schus that we have and the simcha that we should have being parents and teachers. He says, I want to focus, however, on one prat, one detail. Listen carefully to this, because this is exactly what we're talking about now from this paragraph from the Chavis HaTalmidim of the Piazetzna. He says, Shahayetza mishtadab kol koichai. The Yetzirah is trying with all of its strength. Shahaodam yishkach avur mihu oivedu misyageya. Listen to this. More than anything, the Yetzirah is trying to cause you and I to forget for whose sake we are doing all of this work. Why are we doing this? And for whom are we doing all of this? Ukshi is boinen hetev beinu levein kainai. If you would think, meditate, and think honestly between you and the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Yirah shebechelik mehapulas shoyse beisas askus bechinuch hadoros who zokek larach mishamayim rubim liskar beisas askus over mihu oisas ois. But you have to dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you have to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam about this. Help me to remember that all that I am doing with my children is what is for your sake, is lamancha. Why am I doing this? What's my destination? What's my goal? That goes back to the first talk that we had, the whole tachlis of having children, which is to be ma'abed kavod shamayim, to bring more kavod Hashem into the world. For whose sake am I doing all of this? Lamoshal, for instance, he says, Eitzel Melamed, by a teacher, by a rabbi, by Melamed. Mishtadal ha'yetzel esgaber b'chelik me'apulus, she'chelik me'akavon ati elim se'chein b'nei ha'horim. By a rabbi, there could be Yetzar. The Yetzar comes in and is telling the rabbi, the ikur is you have to look good in the eyes of the parents. You have to be somebody that the parents will like. Or you have to be somebody that the administration will favor. Or be'enei ha'menahel, right, in the eyes of the menahel, of the principal. Or ha'mashgiach, or the mashgiach, or la'hagdil l'shem ha'maisad, or on a higher level, sometimes the administrators, their main concern, God forbid, might, they begin to fall into this mistake to think that the most important thing is that our maisad, that our what? Our institution has a certain name. That we have a certain reputation. You understand this? Maybe that moysed, or maybe that institution belongs to a certain big yeshiva, or a certain big chassidus, and you want to make more chashuv of the name of that chassidus, or that yeshiva olam. And you begin to what? Lose focus, and you begin to think, this is the tachlis of my being here, is to increase the covered, the prestige of this shul or of my shir. That's with a rabbi, a teacher, a menahel, a principal. Next column. Ve'etzel ha'orim, but by parents. How does this yetzer manifest itself by parents? Ve'etzel ha'orim yochel ha'yetzel esgaber b'chelik ma'pula she'ikar ha'kavon etilim se'chein b'enei ha'ro'im. You want people to look at you and say, oh, that's a fine family. It's a sheina mishpach. Look at them. Look at what a wonderful family that is. Or be'enei b'nei beisam, or parents that only a word, what do my children think of me? What do my children think of me? Or shall afamim kol ha'pu'ula shel chesed v'ha'anokim v'ruchnis v'gashmiyis. Sometimes, he said, a person can do action, act after act, of what? Of ruchnis and gashmiyis with the children in the home. In spiritual things, teaching and so on, and going over the Aleph Beis Kriya and all the stuff, and in Gashmias feeding and taking care of and changing, all of these things, Shemanikim Ashpil Yelodim, that you give over to the kids, Histam Kedesha Yelodim Yafsikul Hafriya. Sometimes it's only so that my children shouldn't bother me. Your whole tachlis is to get them out of the way. A good child is a non-intrusive child. And all that you're doing is, I want to get this job over with, to finish up, so that the kid will leave me alone. We would never say that. Or maybe in a desperate mood someone would say that. But it could be, you're doing all these nice things. Come here, sweetheart. Come here, I said, sweetheart. Right? You're doing all these nice things for your child, but it's all for one tachlis, for zichalein. That you should have some quiet and spare time. Not that it's not coming to any of us. He's not saying, God forbid, we don't deserve a little menucha. But the point is, it could be that you're doing thousands of nice little things for your kids, and it could be, to make an impression. How many parents I have spoken to who have lost total sight of who their children are and what their children can become and should become, because they're worried, what's the oilim going to say? What's going to be with the shidduch? What's this one going to say? What does that one think? And I have parents that'll suffocate a child, that'll kill a child. You know, we're talking about it. We had a discussion with some chaverim recently about, you know, there was a boy that he wanted to wear a colored shirt. Oh, okay. So in that oilim, a colored shirt, so the parents already saw, this is it. He'll never get a good shidduch. You know, we're talking about someone that's 12, 13 years old, he's never going to get a good shidduch, and his life is ruined, and our reputation is destroyed. And that will cause the parents to talk to the boy in a way that's totally inappropriate. Totally inappropriate. Look what you're doing. You're bringing shame upon our families. He just wants to wear a colored shirt. It's not, I'm not saying that the Chofetz Chaim did or that the Samarov did, but they didn't live necessarily, you know. Our children are taking the blame for us bringing them up in a certain way. We made certain choices, and we're bringing them up in a certain place. And then you give him a patch because he is interested in something. What's his fault? I'll call upon him. the question is not whether we should wear the shirt or not. The point is that very often we lose track of why are we being mechanech our children. We want our children to be God-fearing, healthy, well-adjusted Jews who are going to bring more kavod Hashem to the world. And does it all depend upon the color of the kid's shirt? And you might end up reacting in a way to that kid that will bring down his any kavod shemayim that he'll bring, because he'll feel so emotionally and spiritually depleted and so lost because he's brought shame upon his family, that he's not going to end up being the productive Jew that he can be. Because of what? Because you have a certain idea, wherever that comes from, maybe it's right, the world is so crazy, that because of that shirt, he's never going to get the nice girl that comes out of this place and so on. And we're going to have to settle, and we're going to have to do this and that. And all of this is coming from a Yetzirah that's so covered and kinna, and all small things that we should be ashamed of, really. Instead of worrying about the tachlis of that child becoming a healthy and ripe fruit in Hashem's garden. Very often it's that the children shouldn't bother. You forget sometimes. If you think, I'm doing this, like I told you to my wife, that I'm doing this for the mitzvah, or I'm doing this to what? Mahu, just like Hashem is merciful, I want a child that has compassion. I want the child to be loving. I want my child to be good. Why? Because that means more godliness in the world, as we spoke about the first time. That's what I want my child to be. That's a tachlis of me being a parent. Then if you think about that, you realize, with the smile that I'm giving now, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah. Because if your whole purpose of smiling to the kid is because if I smile, maybe I'll get a good shidduch. So then, you know, it just comes to the point that you're tired of smiling. How long can you live for other people? It becomes tiring after a while. To live for Yenim. You just can't stand it anymore. And there's a very dangerous smallness that's descended upon our community, and there are many, many casualties. And they'll make all these classes and seminars. There are a lot of casualties from the parents themselves whose smiles, whose words are not for the tachlis that we've been talking about. Which is lasas nachas ruach, otzum lavinu shebashamayim, to bring nachas ruach to the Rebbein Shalom. If you learn with your child and your thought is, I want to be mekayem the mitzvah of teaching Torah to a Jewish child, they call dibur every word that you're saying, v'chol sipur, every story that you tell the child, v'chol hadroch, and every guidance, every word of guidance, lasas nachas ruach, you give great nachas, v'lizkais b'mitzvahs rabbis b'niflaos, one mitzvah after the other, it becomes less frustrating. Mitzvahs rabbis v'niflois. V'evshaliyos harim b'meshach harbe shonim. He says it's possible to be parents for many, many years. V'im ein mevakshim rachmi Hashem isbrach. And if you don't remember and ask and daven to the Baruch Hashem to have the destination in mind, to remember the treasure that's buried here. Alulam lavar harbe shonim b'li liskos l'siyachasus amitis. You could spend many years being parents without ever having a true relationship with your children, without truly relating to them in terms of who they really are. Shirat Sain Hashem is Baruch Shiyeh Lanu B'chol Pool of Adibur El Kol Echad V'Echad Me'an Neshomas HaKedoshis V'HaTairish Hashem is Baruch Nos Lanu B'Matana, that Hashem wants us to feel and wants us to think of in our dealings with each of these holy and pure Neshomas that Hashem has given us as a gift. And if you think about that, then even the smallest gesture, act, even the smallest little discussion that you'll have with a child, takes on infinitely greater significance. And instead of feeling small and tired and overwhelmed and overworked, I mean, naturally it's draining, but when a person's life, as he said, we spoke about last week, is with that bigger way of looking at things, so then you realize the zechi that you have. And especially in our days, when every little effort that we make is infinitely more significant than what was in the old days. Because it's so much harder. They say from the Chavetz Chaim, there was a maaser from Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim once, he met a certain businessman. This businessman was in the lumber business. And was known to be a big merchant, a choshev, a gvir. So the Chavetz Chaim met this Jew, and he asked him, you know, Chavetz Chaim is very, very friendly. So Chafetz Chaim asked him, no, whatever, Rabbi Yankel, how's business doing? So this Rabbi Yankel says, oh, Rabbi, says to Chafetz Chaim, it's very, very, very difficult, very, but I'm having a hard time. So Chafetz Chaim said, no, David, it should help, you should have, it should go better. Amen. A few years later, it's the midst of World War One. World War One, everything was falling apart. In Poland, Russia, everything was falling apart. So Chafetz Chaim met this Yid. And Chafetz Chaim says, Rabbi Yankel, how's it going, business? So Rabbi Yankel says, Rabbi, Baruch Hashem, it's never been better. Chafetz Chaim asked him, I don't understand. When I saw you before the Milchama, before the war, and I asked you, how's business? Oh, you said it's terrible. And now it's the Milchama, and you're telling me it's good. So he says, Rabbi, I'll tell you, I'm sorry to say, maybe it doesn't sound nice, but what happened is, as a result of the war, you see, he said, before the war, there are hundreds of guys in the lumber business. So every time I sold a piece of wood, it was with competition and with problems and difficulties that I should be able to be matzliach and sell a piece of wood. But now it's the Milchama. Honestly, most of my competition was destroyed and is out of business, I'm sorry to say. And therefore, people, when they want to buy something, they have very little to choose from. So Baruch Hashem, business is fantastic. So Chafetz Chaim, when he heard this, he started to dance. He started mamish to dance. And this is what he said when he was dancing. Chafetz Chaim said, Rabbi Yisrael, all my life I'm thinking, what could it possibly mean, me, Yisrael Meir, my learning, my davening, my mitzvahs? What does it mean? There used to be a Rashi, there was a Rabbeinu Tam, there was a Rambam, there was a Ramban, right? There used to be these great people. So what could it possibly mean that me, Yisrael Meir, that I'm serving you? What do you have for my avoda? But did you hear, he says, what this Jew said? Is that back in the old days, there was a lot of competition. There was a lot of competition. So the Baruch Shalom was picky. You understand? So he was picky. Who to choose from? It's not so poshut. There are a lot of people that were offering up big davening, big mitzvahs, big Torah. So he says, but nowadays, the Baruch Shalom's business is so down. And there are so few Yidden that still believe in God. So if Yisrael Meir tries a little bit to learn and daven, so the Baruch Shalom has to take this schayr. He doesn't have much other schayr to take. So he was mesameach himself with this ad kedei kach that he couldn't stop dancing. And if we would think about that, that in our generation, every little tnua, any tiny little effort that we make, any dibur toiv, any good word, any hadroch that we give to another Jew, has such significance. It's such amazing schayr in these days, in this world of terrible darkness. So then we would also maybe once in a while feel like, you know, kicking off our shoes and dancing a little bit too. But instead, we tend to be hard on ourselves, and subsequently we become very hard on the children. And we measure them, you know, sometimes we measure them in a way, and we measure ourselves in a way that's not realistic. And in doing so, we cause ourselves harm, we cause the children harm. Instead of realizing the simcha, the zichia gedayla that we have with every single good word and action. So he ends this page, let's just read, Chazal HaKadoshim Mi'irim Lanu, B'divrayim HaKadoshim, Shekor Lezer Melechis Hashem. Therefore, we learned last week that the Gemara says in Bava Basra, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that Davke, teaching Jewish children, is called Melechis Hashem, the work of God. Not other mitzvahs, even though every mitzvah is serving Hashem, but this is called Melechis Hashem. Why is this called Melech Hashem? Because we have to bang it into our heads, drill it into our hearts every day, that this is the Melech Hashem. I'm changing a diaper. I'm putting a band-aid on the boo-boo. I'm saying a kind word. I'm talking to the teacher for the 20th time this year. I'm trying this. I'm trying that. This is Meleches Hashem, because, you know, when you're putting on tefillin, it's not so hard to know that it's Meleches Hashem. And when you're lighting Shabbos candles, it's Meleches Hashem. But when you're dealing with these things day to day, you could forget. And you might forget, what's the goal of what I'm doing? Is it for COVID, that I should have children that everybody says, oh, look at these kids? Or is it as a teacher that my school should be matzliach, or I should have a good reputation, or for a principal to say that our moysed is the most choshev of moysed? The most chosh of a moisad. You could forget. Therefore, Davke here, Chazal went out of their way. And it's brought down Lahaloch in Shulchan Aruch. That Davke, this is called Meleches Hashem, to remind yourself every day, what is the destination, what is the goal? Because the Yetzer wants to take away from us and to tell us it's not Meleches Hashem. It's whose Meloche, it's my Meloche. for my family's name, for my yeshiva's name, for my community's name, and you forget that it's Melechus Hashem. We have to review this and remind ourselves. That the Baruch Shalom has given us, as we learned the first week, has given us the koiches to be mashpia. He's given us the tools that we need for this malacha. You would never ever send someone to do a malacha. Go fix this thing in the house without giving the person a screwdriver, without giving them the proper hammer or nail that he needs. The Baruch Shalom gave us children. He says, "Go, this is the Melechus Hashem." You think he would send us on this shlichus and Melechus Hashem without giving us the kelim? It's ridiculous. He would never do such a thing. It's not shaykh. We would never do that. So we have these koiches, lashpia, lahadrich, lasayeh, velazer, velimsel, and neshomas haylu, as kol mashem zkukim, utzvichim, lakabel, ke'es, ves kol mashem yichrim, sugolim, lakabel. That we have the kelim, that we have all of the kelim that we need, everything that we need, in order to be mashpia, in order to be able to give over to the children exactly what the child is able to be makabel. But if we forget that this is Melechus Hashem, and we become lost in this superficial, shallow silliness, that this is somehow for some other reason, other than producing nachashtik yid, another piece of godliness, nachashtik elokus, in this world. What's the tachlis of having our children? What are we bringing them up for? What's it about? If you don't remember the objective, the sign of a great person is always to have the objective, the goal in mind. Never to forget the goal of why we had children to begin with. I know people that they've had arguments and fights. They get into all this. I had a call once. It's a Maisa Shahaya. My wife will verify this. That there was a Maisa Shahaya that someone called me up a 3:45 in the morning. This is not so uncommon by us. But usually it's 2:33, but this was 3:45. So, of course, right away, you know, I got nervous. My parents, this, that, I didn't know. So I pick up the phone, and somebody, a woman says, "My name is so-and-so." I never heard of her. And I said, "Is this an emergency?" So she says, "Yes." So I said, "Okay, what is it?" You know, by this time, you know, I'm sitting up and I'm thinking, who knows what this is? So she tells me that she has a problem because her sister-in-law had another baby and she only has this many babies and she's very jealous of her sister-in-law. And she finds that this jealousy is eating her up alive. Which I understand is a painful thing. Whether or not that should have been at 3:45 in the morning, I don't know why I couldn't wait till the next day. But apparently, she was at that moment. She must have been throwing darts at a picture of her sister-in-law, and she was overwhelmed with this. And she wants to be a good person, so I suppose that's what that was. I don't know whatever. I don't know who she was or is. I just spoke to her that morning a little bit, and she didn't. You know, we didn't speak again. But I tried to give her some chizuk, but. I asked her, "Do you have healthy children? Do you have children? How many children do you have?" She says she has 4 children. I said, "They're healthy children?" She says, "Kanai Nahar, they're healthy children. You have 4 healthy children, and where is your sister-in-law holding in the competition?" So you understand that she had what? She had a 5th. So my leia was a pamoides Hashem. You understand? And here, it's the opposite feeling, that her sister-in-law is winning. So I spoke to her exactly about this that morning. I said, "Listen, what's the tachlis? What do you want? Why do you have children? And what are you worried about? What are you worried about? Obviously, there are deeper issues here with the sister-in-law. It's not just this, right? But what are you thinking about with your children? What do you want from your children? What do you expect of your children? Do you want little things that could be mounted and could be shown to the world as some sort of a justification for your being in the world? For your being here in the world, so that people should say, look at this woman, she is able to raise such chashuva children. Is that the tachlis? Or how many children that this couple was able to produce? Is that the tachlis?" I want to tell you a story. The name of the tzaddik for now is not important. It was one of the tzaddikim of Chabad who had heard through his daughter that the two of his sons were having a disagreement regarding the nature, regarding the stature of a Jew. And the daughter had reported that one of the sons not the one who was going to become the future Rebbe, but that one of the boys failed to see the greatness of simple Jews. He couldn't understand what makes a simple Jew so special, what makes a simple Jew so different from a non-Jew. After all, they seem to carry about the same basic schedule, live the same basic lives, with the exception of a pair of tefillin here and there, and Shabbos and so on, but he couldn't see what meaning was there in the life of a Jew, and how different was that Jew from a non-Jewish neighbor. So the Rebbe heard about this conversation, and he asked his two sons to appear before him. I'm not sure if it was both sons or that son, to come to him. And they came, and the Rebbe said, I want you to go to the stable and fetch Ivan. Ivan was one of the servants in the court of the Rebbe. Go fetch Ivan, I have to ask him something very important. And the boys went, and they brought Ivan. And the Rebbe asked Ivan, he says, tell me, Ivan, he began saying, what is it, Ivan, that you do in the day? Tell me your schedule. So Ivan described the schedule about how he gets up and he washes and eats and so on, and he goes to work. And then the Rebbe said, and tell me, Ivan, why do you go to work? So Ivan said, I go to work, Rebbe, I go to work to make a living. And why do you need to make a living? Rebbe, I have to make a living so that I should be able to eat. I should be able to live. And Rebbe says, so why do you eat? I eat in order to live. And why do you live, Ivan? Why do you need to live? And Ivan said immediately, Rebbe, I need to live so that hopefully that night I'd be able to go and buy myself a drink and enjoy myself with my friends and relax. So the Rebbe said, that's very good, Ivan. Thank you for answering the questions. And he sent them away. And then the Rebbe said to his sons, go bring now Yankele, the Vasetrega, the water carrier, the simplest, most disregarded Jew in town. And they brought him, and he was shaking. The Rebbe says, tell me, Yankele, tell me your schedule. And Yankele described the schedule, also washing a little bit and eating and davening and eating and so on. And the Rebbe says, tell me, Yankele, why do you go to work? He says, Rebbe, I go to work so that I should be able to earn a living. And why do you need to earn a living? Rebbe, I need to earn a living so that I should be able to eat. And why do you need to eat, Yankele? I need to eat, Rebbe, so that I should live. And then the Rebbe said, and tell me, Yankele, so why do you need to live? And when Yankele heard that question, he was quiet for a few minutes and he began to cry. And then he says, Rebbe, why do I need to live? What should I tell you? I need to live that I should be able to return to the Master of the Universe, that I should one day be able to serve him properly, so that I shouldn't leave this world without remembering my tachlis. And the Rebbe hugged him and sent him away. And he said to his two sons, he said, you see, it might look on the outside, it might appear, it might seem that everything is the same, Ivan and Yankele. You just have to keep on probing, keep on asking, trying to understand, to get to the bottom of a Jew, to get to the end of who he is. The end of a Jew, the bottom of a Jew, his tachlis, is to serve the master of the world. I'm afraid in our child rearing, we sometimes stop along the way. We don't get to that last question of, so why do I need to live? Why do I need to live? The Baruch Shalom should help us that we should remember why we're living. And if we remember, we're focused on why we're living, then certainly it'll help us to remember. Why is it that the Baruch Shalom has blessed us with children? And what kind of life we need to give to our children? And to remember the tachlis of being in this world. And that's chus will be zoichim et Hashem to see. That time, and the Baruch Shalom will make known to each and every one of us, why did we have to go through what we went through? Why did our children go through what they've gone through? And that day the Baruch Shalom will bring us all back to him, the kibbutz goliyos, b'vias gol tzedek, b'hem yameinu amein v'amein.